there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. Today I'd like to talk about Thelonious. That's the melody of the A section. Pretty simple, right? Wrong. It's not simple. It's quite a difficult tune. Not because of that melody, which is pretty simple, straightforward, and it has a pretty straightforward rhythm. But it's all the stuff that's going on underneath it, of course, you know. There's a lot to check out, and there's different versions of it. Now, the first version that I checked out was on Underground. Underground's recorded in 1968, has... you know, it's late in Monk's career, and it has some songs on there that don't appear anywhere else, like Ugly Beauty, Raise Four, Boo Boo's Birthday. And Thelonious is on there as a trio. It's a trio number. And so as a trio, and it's recorded, you know, with a little more modern technology than the earlier version. So you can hear the piano really well on there and hear the voicings and stuff like that. So I learned that song off of that record, I believe, but also some combination of that and the first recording of it, which is from The Genius of Modern Music, Volume 1. That's recorded in October 15th, 1947, and it has horns on it, and they're playing these counter lines. And I went back just recently, just today, and... listened to that, and I realized there were some lines on there that I never played before. So I'd like to show those, and then I'm gonna practice this tune, and you can practice it with me and try to figure it out. But I'll start with that earlier version because it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure if it's practical, but I like it because, okay, here's the melody. I haven't got to the bridge, but the melody is. One, two, three, four. Okay, that's the A section. Now the bass lines is walking down from B flat. Now I'm gonna for reasons I'll explain, I'm gonna start in this higher B flat. We've heard this type of thing. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more. That type of thing. But then it keeps going from the F goes down to E. Let me turn this a little bit so you can see the guitar a little better. Then it walks down chromatically from E, E, E flat, D. I'm not talking about the chord qualities yet, just the roots. D flat, C, D flat, G flat, B, B flat. flat, E flat, and then like a 2-5. Okay, or it could be maybe a flat 6-5, I'm not sure, depending on how you hear it or what recording. But that's the basic thing. So I'll sing the melody and play those. Goes to the bridge there. But before we get to the bridge, I just want to talk about this A section. So that itself is not that hard. I could do a kind of counterpoint with just the melody and the bass notes. Well, I don't want to say it's not too hard. Maybe it is hard. I'm going to try it. So there's also, Monk plays this kind of thing, or I might play, I kind of like to hit this, it's kind of a, like an F7 with sharp 11, to go back to the B flat at the beginning. So that's E, E flat. Flat, C, back to D flat, to G flat, to B, E flat, G flat, F. Now, what types of chords are these? Well, this is where I want to talk about that genius in modern music thing. There's a funny line in there. I can hear the horns playing. I'm not sure if I'm exactly right, but it's pretty close. They kind of go, something like this. So that it starts out. Is that right? So when I put that with this, it goes. This is like a B flat 6. Then it has to go there, make it a 7th. Playing this up in the 11th fret because it feels better to me than doing it here. See, I messed it up. Because these dominant sevenths, they aren't particularly hard, but they're not as easy as this. When you just bar it, you know. So I bar it on the first one. I'm just playing. Sorry. So I'm playing. It's B flat G, A flat G flat, F sharp E, F natural E flat. Now this line goes back up to a F sharp, which makes it an E F sharp. It almost sounds like a F sharp over E type of chord. Now this moves down. This is like a 9th. Now that 9th is easier here. But if I'm going to do all these, I want to keep them up in the same area. So I'm going. Now that's like, it almost sounds like a G flat over D flat. All I'm doing is playing three notes. I'm playing the melody note, I'm playing the bass note that I played before, and then I'm playing this little counter line that goes. that sounds like. This is kind of like F sharp over E. This is like a E flat 6. E flat 6, 9 maybe? Well, there's no 6 in it, I guess. E flat with just a 9th and a 5th. Now it's like a D. I don't really know what you call this. A D with a flat 13 and a 9th. Then it's like a G flat over D flat. You know. Then. Da, 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 da. That's the next counter line. So that makes this. So I'm saying this is a G. Then I'm going, keeping the top the same, just like a C minor sus, a C sus kind of thing. And this is a D flat 6, or you could call it a B flat minor with a D flat in the bass. And this is just G flat, G flat, B flat. It's like a G flat major with no fifth. Bass with an F and a B flat on the top, or an A sharp, B major 7 basically. Because when I come down here, also when I grab this formation, it's basically like this kind of formation, like a B, D sharp, E sharp, technically E sharp, and A sharp. Okay, so that so far is, sorry, little trick. When I have a little bit of a tricky move and there's a pickup, I want to get the pickup already in position. So go, instead of going and trying to switch in between those two notes, it's a little awkward, so I go. So I get the pickup first. Get it up there. This is the chord we've used a lot of times. Dominant 7 chord with a sharp 11 and the 5th right next to each other. Here I'm playing D, E flat. E flat, D flat, A, and B flat. I don't know. Monk doesn't really play. He play in the underground version. He plays that little thing. He kind of goes. You could also do it here. What would it be? That's not good. Maybe here. You can do it. Feels a little awkward to me. I might just go. This is kind of a fill. It's not really, I don't feel like it's part of the tune. It's not played in the earlier version. And that's, earlier version is just kind of rhythm section there. I kind of like that. Something like that. Okay. So that whole, so the last part is. Da, 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 da. Now I might go. Hit that bass note as a filler to get the thing into position. I might go, like for example. Now this is not a major seventh chord here. This is a dominant seventh chord. Very clearly heard in the underground recording. Okay, so now, this is nice. It's cool. I like the sound of it. What? I don't know if it's totally effective because it's hard to hear that third line as really being independent. It's hard to get it to ring and sound good on a guitar up high like that. I think I'm more inclined to do something more like what's on Underground, just for live purposes in terms of being able to remember it and to be able to play it kind of, I like to play it kind of fast. And it's hard to grab all those things quickly, but, you know, you could just start off with, he starts off on Underground, he starts off with this, something like this. We've played this before. Major seven with this A natural in it. So I'm playing B flat, D, A natural, B flat. Now here I'm going to come back to the same way I was doing it before. But see how my pinky is already there. Now I'm only playing just, I'm just playing root seventh all the way down. I'm playing. Okay, all the way down that way. So it goes like this. Now, how about the finger in that? How should we do that? This is like an E7 with a sharp 11. Maybe. 2-3-1, 2-3-4. Yeah, I like that. Because it keeps the same fingers on it. Up here, when you're here, it's not the same fingers. But it's so obvious what it is that it's not hard to keep track of. Now here, I like the sus, bringing that back in, because if you don't do that, I don't think this is really the sound of that chord. It's not really a D flat 7, it's more like a D flat 6. Sounds like to me on the recording. So this is more like, and also the C is more like a sus. I mean, I think he does do that a little bit as well. Really go from the C7 to a D flat 7, but I might do it just like this. I'm just playing a C, F, B flat to D, F, B flat. Now, I don't know. I feel like that's more like a G flat 7, but I'm not really worried about the quality of the chord there. Because at that point, the counterline kind of ends. Again, back here to grab the B major. G flat to F better for that turnaround, because when it goes to the bridge, it sounds more interesting. I'll show you why. So let's talk about the bridge now. So I'll play the second A section. The bridge starts on a C minor. If I were to play the last turnaround on the second A section as a C minor, F7, then I go back to C minor and F7 again. It just doesn't sound as interesting to me. So what I'm saying is, this, then it's the same thing twice. So Whereas the other way, sound with a G flat to F sounds like this. So the bridge is funny. Bridge is a 10-bar thing. That's on two. Ba 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 do boom. Ba wa da 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 wa. Wa da da da. Wa da 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 da. Ba. That's the bridge. Now this. How to describe this bridge except to just play it. It almost feels to me like phrases of three at the beginning. That's like three bars right there. I'm playing C minor 7 to F7. Then it goes to like a D7 augmented. I'll probably put the F sharp in there. Some kind of thing like that. So that's the same type of rhythm the bridge starts with. That's why I hear that as like another phrase. Now here. It goes da 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 da. Let us go. Bo 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 bo. Back to that D7 augmented. And then it goes to D flat, like a 13. And then like a flat 13. A very funny phrasing. Sorry. Here's the fourth bar. You see how that feels like two sections of three? Like, bum, 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 wada. That's a B flat to an A in the melody, half notes. Bum, 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 wada. And then, bum, 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 wada. Does the same, it does the same thing in the melody, a different chord underneath it. The first time it's on a D seven augmented, so it's going from the flat sharp five to the natural five, and then it goes with D flat seven. So that B flat A natural is going from the 13th to the flat 13th. Another bar D flat seven, and I feel this is to me is like the last four bars of the bridge. It goes like this. Starts with that gang gang. This is a G13 flat 9. Classic guitar chord. Basically an E7 over G. Okay, so it's last four bars of the bridge, D flat 7. This is like I'm playing an F sharp over C. Could be just C, some sort of C7 sharp 11. And this is a typical secondary dominant turning into a 2 to a 5, because it's like a C7 to a C minor. F7. So the whole bridge is. Look how nice this works on guitar. Sixth position. Fifth position. This is like fifth position still. Fourth position. Third position. Third position. Second position. First position. So it just kind of walks down from sixth position down to first position. Real nice. I don't even know why it works that nice, but I'm glad it does. Tag ending. So the last ending, last A section is. Now, they don't always play. That might just be to end the tune. But. And then you can go into the solo or whatever. So it might be. Talk about the possibility of playing this with a pick. I guess it's not, if I'm just doing it like that, that's not too hard. I'm just catching the melody and bits of, I'm playing it a little more abstractly, playing like bits of the melody with reference notes in the bass. Like, now what if I want to play them? I could play them, try and play them together. But I'm going to hit a lot of notes in between because it's big, wide spacing. So I have to try to mute some stuff. Let's see how this goes. I don't even know. I could. This. You could also do it where you kind of syncopate the chords a little bit, like. Ah, that's no good. I don't know. It's hard to get it. I think I would switch to pick if I was just playing not the inner voices, but just kind of the two voices. So maybe after maybe for solos, I'll play one chorus of the melody, not that you can hear the whole thing, and then I'll try to switch over to pick and solo just for fun. Let's see how that goes. Sorry. Thank you. Okay, so that's pretty slow tempo, but just for demonstration purposes, so you could follow, that's a possible approach. So again, another pretty incredible monk tune. I sat down to, I thought I would just be able to play it, and then I realized I hadn't really listened that closely to that earlier version, which led me on this whole other possibility. Don't know if it works out, but I did learn something about the tune. Not all those chords are the same, or they don't have to all be the same. And it's possible that he changed it over time, maybe simplified it a little bit for that later version. Or maybe it was just as a trio, he just plays it a little bit differently. So I will post a performance video of this in a minute, and as soon as I get it up to speed. And I'll see you next time. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.